go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the On the Farm Pitcher List podcast about all things prospect, dynasty, and minor league related. Today, we are going to dive into the spring training breakout games. I think this is just a really fun time for dynasty managers to see the game's top prospects and really get the chance for those kids to showcase their talent. We don't see a ton of them. You know, this is especially not in the same game. You know, they're all playing for their teams. And it's been really cool to watch, you know, and for just like a lot of baseball fans, this is probably the first time that you might like, you know, see a prospect in game action or even hear about some of these guys. I know that I learned about a few extra guys that I hadn't really paid attention to before. So I think it's just, you know, makes such a cool viewing experience. And we're hoping that MLB is going to continue it going forward. I thought it was interesting. They always like interviewed the managers in a lot of the games I watched about it, and some of them were really curmudgeon-y about it. You know, they're like, oh well, at first I didn't know, and then they're like, I guess it's all right. Like, these kids get to Bud Black made this weird comment. He's like, well, these kids get to play on an MLB exhibition field, and that's a nice experience. And like, what? It's just a backfield in Arizona. Like, it's pretty standard. And the fan is probably very similar to the environment that you play out in like double A and triple A. And he was like, yeah, this field's something else, you know? And like, okay, bud. but you know, I think the managers kind of were coming around to it. And, I think that overall it's really good for the fans. It was also a little annoying that some of the games you really still couldn't get good, like, visuals of. Some of the camera angles were still really weird, and some of them didn't even have like the high home camera angle, which was like, well, like, what are we doing? Please just broadcast all of them. But you know, I think they're going to work out the kinks. Hopefully that it, you know, is a bit more polished next year on like the broadcast side of it. It is a huge undertaking. I think it's like all those games in just like a span of a few days. But yeah, I think that it's a really good place to start, and I hope that they kind of continue with it and keep evolving. And because, yeah, there's some of these guys that we see in Major League Spring Training, but a lot of them we just wouldn't see in Major League Spring Training and get the chance to see them even against, you know, other orgs. And so good opportunity to see and do some like visual scouting, you know. So, Rick, what did you think overall about the you know, about the breakout games, and yeah, what's your take on it?
Yeah, so that's hilarious that Bud Black said that, because like going to a lot of these minor league games in general, like the facilities are vastly improved,
right? Yeah,
than what they were like when he played.
Yeah.
You know, like it's wildly different.
He played in the days of Bull Durham, essentially, like,
you know? Yeah. Yeah. And Durham's got a beautiful stadium too. He wouldn't recognize it at this point. Yeah, man, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I think that this is a wonderful thing that MLB is doing, because, you know, for those, number one, I wrote a couple articles about this, and a lot of folks who just watch MLB content get so confused that don't play fantasy or dynasty leagues or any of that stuff. They get so confused whenever these rookies come up, and then they're like so offended whenever they don't perform. And like, as a Mets fan, like, Mets fans are literally sitting here with pitchforks and torches trying to get Vientos and Beatty's head, because they want, you know, JD Martinez. They want JD Martinez in the worst way.
Right.
And like, you got to let these prospects play, right? And this whole initiative by MLB is giving you an opportunity as the standard fan, not necessarily the ones that are listening to this podcast, because we're a little bit more refined in terms of like what we're trying to dig for dynasty leagues. What I mean by that. So it's giving the average fan a crash course on the future of the game. And this is something that they should have been doing a long time ago, taking the future of the game seriously, because you get, you know, players like Spencer Strider coming out of Clemson, you know, with Tommy John, you didn't really know what he was. And all of a sudden, boom, he's the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. You know, and people are sitting here like, oh, well, this came out of nowhere. You know, and Jake, you and I were talking about potentially doing a college, you know, episode down the line. And maybe this is what we need to start doing as dynasty owners, too, is learning about the next crop that's coming up next. Right. We have our major league guys. We have our prospect guys. This is a great way to be able to get to learn the names of some of these prospects. I know even for myself doing dynasty rankings and articles left and right, you know, going to minor league baseball games, I always find somebody new. Always. You know, you can't just go in there. Like, you'll go to like a minor league game with one or two guys that are at the top of your mind, but you'll run into, you know, hidden gems all the time. I remember going to the Arizona Fall League and watching Caleb Durbin. And I'm just like, what is going on here? Caleb Durbin is not ranked high in any rankings with the Yankees. Like, who is this? So I got all excited, you know, learning more about him, talking with him, you know. So for the fans that are at home and can't go to all these minor league games, this is your opportunity to be able to see these guys, you know, evaluate them a little bit for yourselves. It's great, like, going over the stat sheets, but seeing these guys with the old eye test, right, Jake? This is the way sometimes that you can get a little bit of a leg up in your dynasty leagues and acquaint yourself with some of these. You know, you never know. It's a long season and trades happen all the time. Some of these prospects are literally playing for attention on other teams to potentially be traded for. That's why scouts go to these games, right?
Right.
So you're seeing an opportunity that we might see, you know, in-season trades with some of these guys. You never know. It's exciting, Jake, and I'm glad that we could be able to talk about it a little bit more today and that MLB's taking it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you know, like you mentioned, the eye test. It's, I think you get a really good sense of just like some of like the athleticism of these guys and like how they're going to profile, you know. Are they more of like a speedy, like, you know, spray the ball to all fields? And you can see that approach, I think, a lot better. Actually, you know, watching the game as opposed to looking at like, you know, Fangraphs or whatever. I think Jose DiPaola is one that stuck out to me just for the athleticism. You know, like some guys, when they just play baseball, you're like, wow, like that's an athlete. Yeah. You know, like, oh, yeah. And there's just a lot more projection for guys like that, you know, that can just impact the game in a couple different ways. And so it's always nice to kind of see who stands out to you just like when you actually see them in person, because there's all, and especially like you have guys like we'll talk about later, but like Xavier Isaac hitting homers on like, different pitches, you know, taking a fastball low and away to left field and then crushing a hanging breaker to right field. And so it's like you get to see these guys kind of really, you know, be successful in a bit of a different environment and hopefully see how they handle different situations. And it is just one game. Like you can't really like change too much about your evaluation of these prospects just from one game, but I think it helps like back up what we already suspect we know about a lot of these guys and like their talents and where they can impact the field, because you know you're seeing it in person, you know, and especially things like defense is something that you really can't see in Fangraphs or in the box score besides just like the standard like errors. And so, like, watching Drew Jones unleash a 94-mile-per-hour throw from center field that didn't get the runner, but just, like, seeing that and being like, oh, like, he has an arm. Didn't really know that, you know? So there's just a lot more extra, you know, information that you get watching all these guys play in person for sure.
So, yeah, you have that. And then on top of it, you're seeing a lot of players that are 19 years old or, you know, I think Xavier Isaac is, I think, maybe 19 or 20 years old at this point. I think he was 18 all season last year. But anyway, like, you're seeing him face off against 22, 23, 24-year-old, you know, pitching. Mm-hmm. So all these prospects are varying ages and varying levels. So
that's a good point.
Like, yeah, whenever you see these types of performances, and we'll talk about some of them, you know, today with this, you know, that's what makes it all the more impressive. Yes, it's one game. I'm not jumping people, skyrocketing people up my rankings from this at all. But, you know, you got to keep it in the back of your mind, because these are prospects that should be overwhelmed with this level of play and are doing it. They're getting it done on the field. And it's exciting for prospect people who focus on this. You know, as all of you listeners are, it's fun to be able to go back and watch. So if you get an opportunity, MLB TV, I think you should be able to go back and watch some of them. And like Jake said, some of the broadcasts, it's amazing to me for such an event that should be like at the forefront. It really, you know, could there's still room for improvement. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. There's definitely always room for improvement at the minor league level. But like you said, the facilities are great. Like, they have the technology. They have the ability to put, like, they could put StatCast in every stadium. Hawkeye, they could put a really great, you know, camera setup in center field and get a really great shot. Like, they can do all of it. And I think it's a lot of it's in the process. I think we've seen it improve really each year. But it's just the, you know, the more that happens, the easier it is to, you know, to scout a lot of these guys from home, because like, it's really hard to, you know, get out to minor league games and actually see it in person. And you're kind of limited by, you know, how much you could watch. And I think even last year was a huge step forward with what they did with like MILB TV. And so, yeah, I think it's getting better, but it is annoying to turn on a game and you're like, oh, that's not going to work. That's not going to show me anything. So, you know, it is what it is. But Rick, when you were watching these games, what were some of like the takeaways that you brought from the games, like in general, and how did it, I guess, inform even just how you, maybe manage any of your teams or like look at your prospect ranking specifically? Is there anyone that you're like, oh, maybe I should go pick up this guy off the waivers? Or is it just kind of like, oh, like this is just more information and not super impactful for like my actual teams, rankings, things like that?
So yes and no, right?
Absolutely, so, yes.
Yeah, yes, from the standpoint of, you know, I got a lot of information over, you know, the last week on a lot of these guys and seeing video footage on all over Twitter. I mean, literally it was littered with it. You could see so much positive feedback from a lot of these different guys. And for me, I made a lot of notes in terms of where I have some of these guys in my rankings, where I want to watch them as the season starts. And I want to see if some of this stuff is just nerves, you know, because sometimes these guys will dial it back. Because you'll see with a lot of this, most of these pitchers didn't pitch past two innings. So you're going to see inflated, you know, fastball velocity in general, you know, when it comes to pitchers. All right, so let's put it this way. For pitchers,
right,
I saw a lot of impressive things from a lot of different pitchers. There was a lot of leagues where I'm like, ooh, I like this a lot. And we'll talk about some of those, you know, throughout here. But there was a lot of guys that really just kind of got on my target list for this year to start, which is awesome, because with spring training, I tried to do that. But the problem with spring training for prospect's sakes, okay, was strictly that. You see a lot of the big name prospects in spring training, right? But you don't get a chance to see a lot of these, you know, mid-tier, you know, older prospects be able to try to get that opportunity. Whenever you see these breakout games, you can get an idea of some of the prospects that would not get an opportunity in regular spring training. And for me, in particular, I see a lot of these guys in the Carolina League, just in general. So I try to be able to see all the ones that I have seen in this, you know, breakout series, but then this is an opportunity for me to be able to see a lot of what's going on out West.
Right.
That I won't get an opportunity to see until maybe like the Arizona Fall League, you know? So this is my opportunity to be able to get a better vision of that. Because once they get out to the PCL and they get into, you know, some of those elevated areas where the ball flies and the pitching is just hard to evaluate, this is a good controlled area that I could be able to see a little bit and kind of fine tune my opinions on this. So I take a lot away from this, even though it's, you know, a singular game, you know, that they're playing or two games, you know, there is a lot to take away from it without getting carried away.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like what you kind of the point that you made about the players that we're seeing that we wouldn't, you know, normally see. It can never hurt to get, you know, some extra exposure for these guys and not have to go through to either like go and see a game or go and try to mess with like, you know, camera angles and like low A. Because there's just, you know, I think a lot of guys that got really good looks that I think wouldn't otherwise. So I think that about does it for the general discussion and setup. We're going to dive into some actual games, some things that happened in these games, some lines and box scores and whatnot. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and do that.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, we are back and ready to get into some of the specific breakout games from day one and day two and kind of give an overview of what happened and then break down some guys that were involved. Sorry to anyone who might have heard my dog in the background at the end there. Of course, whining a little bit. Not sure if that got in the recording, but I had to just run them out. And of course, they are little demons. And one trying to eat wood chips and the other one chasing squirrels across the yard. So, but we're back and ready to talk about some baseball. Also, something else that we didn't mention at the beginning of the show was it's Friday for the listeners. And this is our new day for publishing. And so this will kind of be the norm going forward. Pitcher List is, of course, always expanding and brought some new shows on into the mix and just kind of had to shuffle some things around. So we are now on Fridays, so y'all will hear from us every Friday going forward. I think it'll be overnight recording, so available Friday morning. But just so everyone is aware, we'll also include it in the tweets and whatnot. But for, you know, in case you were curious why this is coming to you on a Friday, that is why. But with all of that out of the way, we can dive back into the spring breakout discussion. So first game that we wanted to talk about here is the Reds prospects against the Rangers prospects. And, you know, I think Rhett Lauder was one player from the draft that always seemed a bit undervalued, a good value for the Reds. And like he made his awaited debut and we actually got to see him you know, pitch you through two innings, which for a lot of these pitchers is like, I'd say like the average amount that a lot of guys threw, you know, it was like two, maybe three. So he threw two innings, two strikeouts, no hits, no walks, no earned runs. So he looked really clean. And then for the Rangers, Brock Porter had a solid inning of work. One inning, two Ks, one hit, one walk, no earned. Emiliano Teodo struggled out of the pen, came in, gave up a hit and two earned runs. The hit was a homer. And then Sebastian Walcott, who was really one of like the very quick risers of last season, coming in from that last January 15 class, he had a hit and scored a run. So I think, you know, Walcott's a great example of guys that we really typically wouldn't see, because he was playing in like the complex league for a bit last year. I don't know how far he got, but I don't think he got up to like double A. So he's still like developing. He's still very young. And, you know, he got this experience competing against some advanced, you know, advanced pitching. And so, you know, always good to, you know, have some examples of these situations where guys are kind of thrown in, I think, out of their comfort zone. So nice to see that he was successful there. Rick, Reds and Rangers, what stood out to you the most here?
Yeah, so with Rhett Lauder, really, really good to be able to see him, you know, kind of compete here. We didn't see him pitch after the draft last year. And I agree with what you're saying, Jake. He was a very good value from Wake Forest. Really a high floor pitcher. That's one of the main things. If Skeens has got the higher ceiling, Rhett Lauder has got the higher floor. So I think, you know, kind of similar in a lot of ways to Nick Lodolo in the 2019 draft class with the Reds. So the Reds have a habit of doing this, where they can be able to get a safe guy and be able to kind of tweak some of the stuff that he does. You know, Rhett Lauder was, to credit Wake Forest, they are very good about fine tuning and getting the most out of pitchers that they possibly can to be able to get them as high as they possibly could before the draft. And Rhett Lauder is a good example of that. It'll be interesting this year to be able to see what the Reds do to be able to get more from him, whether it's more velocity with the fastball, you know, shape, you know, something along that line. So it was good to see him go out here and succeed and have that confidence in this game. I know with some of his other outings in spring, it hasn't necessarily gone quite right, which I don't put a lot of stock into. Let's get him into the minor league season and see how he does from there. Obviously, Brock Porter, top, you know, one of the top pitching prospects in minor league baseball right now. You know, solid, you know, outing out there, a walk and a hit, but he did get two strikeouts and an innings pit and one inning pitched. That's good. One of the major pop-up guys this offseason, and especially with the Arizona Fall League, Teodo, you know, struggling a little bit here in this exhibition game. This is a guy that I think a lot of folks are kind of putting on the fast track of the Andrés Muñoz, whenever he was coming up with the Padres, and then he gets traded to the Mariners, they move Diaz, and now he's looking like, you know, the top guy there. Teodo could still end up being that. I'm not saying that he's not, but it was kind of interesting to be able to see him on this outing, how he performed, and how he struggled a little bit but bounced back from it to finish off his inning of work. So I'll be curious to see how he does going into this year. This is kind of one of the main reasons why I wanted to talk about him a little bit on here. And whenever it comes to Sebastian Walcott, how exciting is this? I mean, one of the top international guys, this is one of the main from the previous international class. I should be able to see him quite a bit next year, whether it is in low A, down East Wood Ducks, or seeing him in high Hickory at some point next year. So I'm hoping to get a lot of eyes on him, a lot of video footage. We'll be talking about Sebastian Walcott probably a lot this upcoming year, Jake. So prep yourself for that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always here for that. I think that he's absolutely going to be someone to watch as he kind of continues to come through. Really interested about what you were saying about Teodo and kind of the comps to, you know, Munoz, and just kind of looking at his profile, you know, you could definitely see that. Like, he's like huge strikeout guy, but really just, you know, finding the zone is the is more the issue for him, which is, you know, I think very common for guys who have the electric stuff out of the pen. It's always kind of like, okay, at one point are they going to harness this and be more consistent with it? It's not too insane. Like, I went and looked at his strike percentage, ball percentage, the last 2 years, and it was 60-40, 60 strikes, 40 balls. Each of the last 2 years, it was just about the exact same rate. So, you know, sometimes you see guys at, like, you know, high A and low A, like where he was, even post worse than that. And so that it just makes it a very clear, like, thing to work on. And I think that, yeah, just looking at, like, the stuff that he's had, I like kind of, you know, the idea of kind of keeping up to date with him and see how he goes. Because he's going to be in Double A this year, you have to think, because they've been pretty consistent with him. It was low A all of 2022 and high A all of 2023. His results in 2023 were solid. I think that he definitely, you know, will get that bump up. And then just kind of seeing how it'll go there. And then, yeah, Walcott is just, like, so exciting. I think he's going to be huge. And of course, this was one of the games that didn't have that, like, center field camera, but watching some highlights from Lauder, ugly swings, like guys looked confused. They'd get done swinging, kind of like look around, you know, like, oh God, I don't know. I mean, what pitch was that? You know? So always good to see that, that kind of body language from hitters after facing a guy, for sure.
The breaking pitches for Lauder is out of this world. I mean, they are really, really good. If he could just work with making that fastball have a little bit more run to it and being evasive of bats, that'll be key, because a lot of Wake Forest pitchers in the past have had some issues with having great secondary pitches and not great fastballs. You know, we saw this, with Cusick. Cusick didn't have the best fastball, but the breaking pitches were there, you know, and the several others, you know, previously as well. One thing also, you know, with the Rangers, to kind of circle back there with Theoto, they also had Mark Church out there. So the Rangers are really developing a lot of excellent bullpen arms that could potentially be back of, you know, the bullpen, you know, shutting down games. So there's a lot of names in this organization that you probably need to be, you know, more locked into. And we'll talk about them, you know, throughout the season. But Mark Church was definitely one that we've been talking. Oh, well, I've been talking about. I know Jake Johnson with the Weekly Streamer was one that brought to my attention. He is a great guy to be able to watch as well. So.
Yeah, I'm here for the bullpen coverage. I think that's something that definitely doesn't get covered in minor leagues in general. But I love looking at, like, the flamethrowers and the eventual back of the bullpen guys coming through, because I think that's still valuable to get on, you know, get on relievers early. And, like, you look at guys like Prelander Baroa, who is like, oh, like, you know, how long are you going to keep him a starter? Like, he's pretty much destined for reliever. And I think a lot of people, when they talk about Prelander, I mean, myself included in general, like, you talk about a guy who's starting and you're thinking about him going to the bullpen. It's like a, like, you know, definitely takes away some value. But there is still, like, in Dynasty, a really good approach is finding those bullpen guys, the Felix Bautistas, the Munozes, and even, like, Abner Uribe is what, you know, like, finding these guys as they're kind of coming up and not having to, like, fight on the waiver wire for them once they actually, like, get into these late inning roles. Jordan Leisure is another one that we're seeing come through right now, really because, like, guys saw him early on, and so I think that it was, and now it's kind of the cat's out of the bag a little bit, but in the early spring, like, you can get on some of these relievers before they really kind of break out. And I think that still carries a decent amount of value. Even if you're a rebuilding team who isn't really going to use relievers, there's always halfway through the season, the competing teams in your league need relievers. You know, some guys get injured, lose jobs, whatever it is. And they're still fighting for that category. Like, there's a ton of value in the relief market. I think that, isn't properly, I think, looked at, you know? So love that you kind of brought that up there. I think that's something we should definitely kind of keep an eye on for sure this year.
Absolutely.
But moving on to the next game on our list, the Orioles, the Pirates. So this was a huge one, really just for the Jackson Holliday, Paul Skenes rematch. The first one, of course, was bemoaned all over the internet because we couldn't actually watch it on on TV. They had MLB, of course, had who were their best prospects, and well, they did what MLB does. But now we got to see it from a good camera angle. And so that was, you know, that was obviously huge. Paul Skeens won the battle there, struck him out. He was pumping 100 mile per hour fastballs. Like you said, it's one inning. And so there's, you know, potentially some increase in adrenaline, but it's also Paul Skeens. We know he throws 100 regardless. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, just watching like his approach to like Enrique Bradfield, you know, just like, I'm going to throw 100 and like, good luck, you know? So yeah, mm-hmm. It's fun. I think, you know, one inning for pitchers is tough, but it is fun to see the one inning stuff that comes through there for sure. And then of course we got Jace Bowen went 2-for-3, been hitting really well. Trace Bright gave up an earned run and a walk, but still solid overall. He went 3 innings, 4 Ks, 3 hits, 1 walk, and an earned run. Jackson Holliday went hitless in 2 at-bats. Call the fire department, the police department, your local first responders, and panic because Jackson Holliday is washed. Again, it's a game, whatever. Pittsburgh kept the really good Orioles stacked prospect lineup to 1 hit. Everyone's always talking about how the Orioles are so deep and where are all these guys going to play? And Pittsburgh's pitching rose to the occasion and really stifled them for the whole game. So, Rick, what stood out to you in this game here?
Yeah, I thought that was so interesting because I was like, all right, you know, Orioles have graduated a lot of guys. Some of these guys might be in major league camp, you know, but I'm looking, I'm like, you know, they got Beavers, they got Holiday, they got, you know, Mayo's out here. They got a stacked lineup, right? So I'm looking through that and I'm looking at what Braxton Ashcraft did with, you know, Pittsburgh. I'm looking at what Paul Skeens did, you know, it was looking really good across the board. Obviously, yeah, with Paul Skeens, he throws 100, so we're going to see that a lot this year. You know, hopefully as health does. Jace Bowen was one that I watched a lot in Greensboro. Really amazing guy, really, really good gamer. And then whenever he went to the Arizona Fall League, he was just out there all the time, just getting it done. I think he was even in the home run derby, which was very, very surprising because he's not really a power hitter. So, but he fared actually very well. I think he made it to the second round. So that was pretty good. One guy that I really do want to try to talk about a little bit here is Trace Bright. All right. And as Jake said, the outing is, it's so-so. It's still solid. You know, 3 innings, 4 Ks, 3 hits, 1 walk, 1 earned run. But Trace Bright is a pitcher that I think, you know, we all as prospect aficionados and dynasty, you know, managers here need to take note of Trace Bright. 6'4", 23 years old, right-handed pitcher. He's in Double-A currently, but this is a guy who has got a fantastic fastball. Really going to be a plus fastball here. He does have a slider. The curveball is where he really gets a lot of his swing and miss from. It's really solid curveball. And I think that he's going to continue to move up ranks really, really quickly. Last year, he played in High A and Double A. In High A, he made 22 appearances, 18 of them as starts, 82 and two-thirds innings pitched. He had a 13.83 K per nine. The walks have always been a little bit iffy with him. He did have a 5.23 walks per nine, finished with a 4.35 ERA. I will say with Aberdeen, in that area, you will see a little bit higher inflated ERAs, but if you look at his FIP, it's a 3.91. So he was getting a bit unlucky as well. Once he made the jump to Double A, made three starts, 4 appearances, 17 innings pitched, 10.59 K per nine. The ERA was down at a 2.12. I think that this is a guy who could have a really good starter's you know, build to him. He could be very productive, and I think that he's going to skyrocket up rankings this year. But it's a guy that's not being talked about hardly anywhere. So seeing him in this breakouts game, despite the results, you see the strikeout potential here, guys. So take note of this. Take it into your dynasty leagues. If you're in a little bit deeper dynasty leagues, I'm talking maybe 15, 20 teams with deeper prospect benches, make Trace Bright a priority for you. I don't need to go into Jackson Holliday. You know, he's great. I know he's great. He's going to be great. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, absolutely. Love the call out with Trace Bright, because I mean, it's the perfect example of someone, like you said, who's going to fly up, you know, boards, prospect rankings and whatnot this year. Especially if we see any sort of like trends like we saw last year of pitching prospects get called up pretty quickly and move through the levels fairly quickly. There's going to be a lot of focus, even for redraft leagues, on like these next pitching prospects that come up. And I don't think Bright is going to necessarily like, you know, touch the big leagues this year. It's possible. But the Orioles have a decent amount of depth, and I don't think they'll really need to go to him. But my point is that as he, you know, if he performs decently at Double A to start the year, he gets promoted to Triple A. Like that process is where you start to hear of guys a lot more. That's where we started to hear more about, you know, Pomovich and McDermott last year. And now we're looking at Pomovich and McDermott as candidates to fill in, really be the next guys up for the major league rotation. And, you know, so it's, I think, a good opportunity to kind of be ahead of the curve a little bit here, because, you know, he threw 17 innings in Double A, performed really well at Double A, going to start there again, more than likely. And this is when the hype starts, you know, performing well at Double A, and then you see that promotion Triple A, and then it's too late. So definitely kind of keep up to date with him. We'll absolutely be watching his starts at the beginning of the year, because yeah, this could be a really good spot to invest in Trace Bright for sure. All right, and then moving on to the next game on the list, the Nationals and the Mets. Cole Henry was filthy, striking out 3 in an inning of work with no hits or walks, so pretty perfect there. Looked great. TJ White, 2 hits, 2 RBIs, and the first was a double that was 107.4 miles per hour off the bat. Love that we had some Statcast readings for some of these games. Brandon Sproat looked sharp, striking out 2 in the inning he worked with no hits or walks, sitting high 90s. It was impressive to watch. I think he was one that really stuck out to me. That fastball looked great up in the zone. His slider is like high 80s and really tight break, and guys couldn't get on top of it. So loved Brandon, what we saw from Brandon Sproat. So again, another one who kind of went deeper in the draft, you know, kind of like Rhett Lauder, and who performed really well throughout college, was kind of the secondary group of pitching prospects. And so yeah, he was looking great. Nolan McLean had a filthy back foot slider with 3,200 RPM. So love to see that. And the fastball is reaching 98. Another great fastball slider combo there. And then you had Ryan Clifford with a clutch RBI hit in his lone at bat. Love Ryan Clifford. Really thinking that he takes a step forward this year as well. I think that was a great, you know, trade that the Mets got him from the Astros. And I think along with Drew Gilbert in the same one. So I remember loving that deal. Rick, what do you got for this game, for these guys? What's standing out to you?
Yeah. So first off with Cole Henry, let's talk about this a little bit. Cole Henry dealt with a lot of injuries last year. So seeing him healthy and on the mound is huge. You know, this is a guy that was drafted out of LSU in the 2020 draft in the second round by the Nationals. He's 6'4". He's got a starter's build, a fastball, slider, changeup. And the fastball is very, very solid. The slider has got fantastic break to it. And the changeup is I'm not going to be one of those guys. It's like one of the best changeups I've ever seen. But it's really, really good, guys. This is a prospect that, like Strider, dealt with injuries and didn't have a ton of, you know, innings under his belt. You know, we're looking back at Cole Henry here, and you know, he had 1 year where it was 47 innings. That seems to be about the most that he's pitched in a single season. He's still been deployed as a starter. So last year, you know, in the very small sample size that he pitched in low A for 7 innings, high A for 8 innings, and Double A for 18 in the third innings, you know, with very solid results, good double-digit strikeout rates in several of these. Primarily before, he has been relatively a control, you know, pitcher. He's been able to keep the walks down, which has been solid. this spring, we've seen him basically working out in a reliever role. And I wonder what the Nats are going to do here with that. If they're going to deploy him into minor league or into the minor leagues back as a starter, if they're going to transition him into a relief pitcher. I still think that there is a starter here if he can log the innings and have a healthy year. More than likely, he will start the year in Double A. And this is a guy that I'm going to be watching, you know, like a hawk, no pun intended. Yeah, exactly. So I'll be watching him whenever he gets to Double A. And hopefully, you know, with his stint in Rochester up in Triple A would be great to be able to see what he does with it from there. So Cole Henry is a guy I think that you guys should be able to watch, similar to Trace Bright. TJ White is, you know, another one of these lost Nationals outfielders that get things done, like Dalen Lyle as well. I know Jeremy De La Rosa was another one that I was highlighting last year, in addition to, obviously, you know, you got Cruz and you've got Wood, you've got all these guys that are there, you know, top tier prospects. There's still some really good talent that's just below the surface there. And TJ White is somebody that you could, look at. He's got to cut down the strikeouts, though, so I'll wait to see what he does this year with it. Guys, run, don't walk. Brandon Sproat is impressive. Very, very impressive. The Mets liked him so much, they drafted him twice. Like, they yep. knew what they wanted, and they went and yep. got what they wanted, right? And the Mets, in general, I'm not saying this as a Mets fan, I'm trying to keep my fandom aside. They have invested a ton of money into what they're calling their pitching factory, their pitching development labs. Pitching labs is what they call it. And Sproat did not pitch after he was drafted. McLean didn't pitch after he was drafted either. And the Mets are working with them. They're fine-tuning their pitches. They're working on how they can be able to deploy them effectively, you know, going into this season. So with Brandon Sproat, you know, seeing what he's doing with the high 90s, you know, work with the fastball, he's getting a lot of swing and miss with that slider right now. That is key because he struggled in Florida with the walks and just wasn't necessarily what we all thought he was going to be. And we've seen this a lot out of pitchers from Florida needing to be fine-tuned once they get to the professional ranks. And they turn out to be very, very good pitchers. They know how to scout. It's the player development once they're there that is still slightly off, right? Nolan McLean, he is the real deal Holyfield, all right? You've heard it elsewhere. You're going to hear it here, too. We are all in on the two-way copy of Ohtani. He hits. He pitches. He gets things done. He was a relief pitcher. Now turned starter with the Mets. They are going to deploy him as a starter. They are going to try and have him as a hitter to start the year. We'll see how that goes. From what I've heard and what I've seen, he hits bombs. So, you know, cue the Little League World Series. Hopeful there. I hit bombs. I hit dingers. Is that what he said? Anyway, so Nolan McLean, yeah, that slider. I mean, this is elite. I heard, I think it was Joe DiMeo that said it with one of the Mets podcasts here just recently, that 3,285 RPM back foot slider, like, literally ranks within the 1% of Major League Baseball pitchers right now.
Well, like, that'll play.
Yeah, that'll play. So if you're looking to get a leg up, I would be prioritizing this. Not just because of what we've seen. This is something that is happening. It's going to continue to happen whenever he gets into the minor leagues. And Ryan Clifford, I mean, just super exciting. Big, big power, you know. He struggled a little bit whenever he came back over with the strikeouts. He'll have to tone those back. But, you know, on a big stage where everybody's watching, he got it done, you know, with that clutch RBI. And it was a hard hit ball, man. I mean, it went right to the corner. It was solid, man. It was great for my Mets to be able to do that, and some exciting stuff all around, even with the Nationals.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Do you want to guess, Rick, what the roster percentage is for Nolan McLean on Fantrax?
Oh my gosh, I have to probably guess this. I'm going to go with, let's go 10%.
You are selling yourself short. It is 3%.
Wow. I was going to say 5, but I didn't want to go that low.
Didn't want to be that guy. That's funny.
I didn't want to be that guy.
That's funny. So 3%. Yeah, 3% rostered on Fantrax. So a perfect example of guys that I had not heard of before ever in my life. Not being someone who is not as deep into the prospects as Rick is, that, you know, is widely available, for, like, drastically widely available, especially in anything shallower than 30 teams, that has some really great upside, looking at just that stuff on the slider and pitching, and maybe he throws some hitting in there as well. We'll see, but, love that pull, love that name. And just, again, a great example of, what we can see from these guys that we don't really know much about going in these games.
On top of that, the Mets have done a really good job with Christian Scott,
yeah,
Tyler Stewart,
yeah,
Tylor McGill. They were all drafted as relief pitchers. Like, let's not forget this. They were drafted as relief pitchers and converted into starters. The Mets have a type, and if they see something that they like, they will take them now to the new pitching lab and try to figure out a way to be able to get the most out of them to be a starter. So we're talking about a guy who could potentially hit triple digits with elite spin rates for secondary pitches. And worst case scenario, he is a back of the bullpen arm. And I'm sorry, that's still going to play in these deep dynasty leagues.
For
I want
sure.
that all day.
Yeah, must be nice as a Mets fan, having something even resembling a pitching lab and experiencing development.
Can I record that? I want to play that again, like, later. It must be nice being a Mets fan.
Well, yeah, you know what? You know, you probably don't hear that a lot, but coming from a White Sox fan, it's one of the few times you'll actually hear that. Oh man, I'm waiting to see how the White Sox screw up their latest tear down. But beyond that, we're going to go back to another ad break. We're going to come back after that, give you another handful of games that we're going to go through. And then I have some guys kind of written off to the side that I wanted to bring up here as well. So we are going to be back in just a minute and dive into it again.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, we're back, and we're going to get into the second half of the spring breakout games. We're going to dive into the Blue Jays and the Yankees, the Rays and the Twins, Astros, Cardinals, and Brewers and Royals. Lots of really great upside guys in these games. Got to start with the Blue Jays and the Yankees. As if there wasn't enough hype for Spencer Jones just in general in the world, this spring he has really done his best to triple the amount of hype with the contact rates that we've seen in like the regular spring training games, with just like the presence that he brings at the plate and the results that we've seen him hitting the heck out of the ball. And so he went 3 for 4, 4 RBIs, hit 2 homers, great example of hitting different pitches. He took a fastball kind of like low and in middle of the zone and just drove it out to center field. And then he crushed a breaker that was kind of hanging in the low end of the zone and just looked so good. Such a powerful compact swing. Caleb Durbin, I know Rick loves him some Durbin. Went 2-for-3 with an RBI. Brock Selvidge was filthy, went 4 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 hit, 1 walk, no earned runs. Sounds incredible. And then Henry Lalanne, another one who has gotten a lot of, more attention this spring. And he was also solid in the outing, went to 2 innings, 3 strikeouts, 1 hit, 1 walk, no earned runs. So lots of really interesting stuff happening in this game. Rick, what stood out to you?
So if you notice, didn't really talk much about the Blue Jays. It was pretty crazy. Combing through the stat line, it was a rough game in general. But the Yankees prospects really did stand out to a point where I was like, all right, we need to talk about this a little bit more. Obviously with Spencer Jones, I mean, he's fantastic. He really is going to be a game changer, especially from a dynasty standpoint. Like, this is legit, and quite frankly could be a top 5 prospect and probably should be, going into this year. And that'll be something I'll have to think long and hard about, because he is a gamer. Caleb Durbin, we've talked about him several times on this podcast. He's almost becoming a podcast favorite at this point. Very, very solid, contact hitter. This is a guy who will more than likely find a way to be a contributor. I feel it, man, because he's definitely got it going on. The two I really, really want to talk about is Brock Selvidge and Henry Lalanne. And just like you said, Jake, they're getting a ton of love this spring, and it is absolutely warranted in every capacity. Brock Selvidge is only 21 years old. I have to remind myself this, because he was drafted in 2021 in the 3rd round. And I just feel like he's been around for so long, but, has had to deal with some injuries and stuff like that. That's kind of, not had as much time out there. But when you look at his stats to this point, he has been a pitcher that has been in control. He doesn't walk a ton of batters. Last year, he played in low A for 14 starts, 15 appearances, 77 and a third innings pitched. In that time, he had 91 strikeouts, which was good for a 10.59 K per nine and a 2.44 walks per nine. Kept the ball in the yard too, which is always good. A 3.38 ERA. Goes and gets bumped up, 20 years old to high A, 9 starts there, 50 and a third innings pitched. The strikeouts came down a little bit to 46. Is an 8.29 K per nine. I'm not worried about that. I think it was more so just being tired. That's the longest he's gone in a season since being drafted. But still, 2.5 walks per nine, 3.59 ERA or 3.58 ERA. And whenever you look at the FIP for both stops, he was fine in high A, perfectly fine. He was unlucky whenever he was in low A. He had a 2.81 FIP, so he should have been, you can project more is what I'm trying to get at with him. And whenever you're looking at him, he's a 6'3" starter. He works with a fastball, slider, changeup. He does have a cutter that he's worked in as well. So this is a guy I really want to watch this year, because I think he's going to completely skyrocket. You just saw him perform in one of the biggest stages that you can right now for prospects going into the year. So I love this. Henry Lalanne is a guy that needs to be on everybody's radar. Everybody. 6'7", 211 pounds, 19 years old. A left-hander, by the way. That's awesome. Great fastball, curveball, changeup. The command has been solid as well. When you look at what he was able to do last year in the complex league, because he played primarily in the complex league, 8 appearances, 5 starts, 21 and 2/3 innings pitched, 14.12 K per nine. Jake, I don't know much about baseball, but I know that is good, my friend.
Yeah.
A walk per nine of 1.66. Give me the Ks with no walks. Yes, please. Don't be fooled by that 4.57 ERA, because the FIP's at a 3.44. I'm really excited to see this guy pitch. I really think that he's going to do something really special once he gets to low A. And I will not be surprised at all if he's able to make a, you know, jump to high A, Hudson Valley by year's end, honestly. I mean, he looks very advanced for his age.
Yeah, I'd love the call out for Selvidge there. Another one who is really like low rostered. Just kept my Fantrax app open because I knew you were going to do it to us again, Rick. He is 5% rostered on Fantrax right now. And I went and looked. You mentioned he's a good command. He has really good walk rates. Last year, he had 6.5% walk rate at low A and a 6.6% at high A. And he threw strikes, like backed it up. Like he threw 65% strikes in low A and 66% strikes in high A, which is fantastic for a pitching prospect coming in, especially one with good strikeout stuff. So it sounds like he's, you know, I think it's nice when you can come across a prospect where it's like, you know, he doesn't have like incredible electric stuff, but it's good. And he doesn't have like horrible command, you know, it's good. Like a nice, well-balanced profile. Cause a lot of time with pitching prospects, they're very, they're very like polar, you know, very polar opposites maybe of each other, where you either have the guy that's like striking everybody out but can't find the zone, or the command specialist. And so it's nice when we kind of have someone that does a little bit of everything. So love to see that. And then LaLanne, I have to make a I think admission here. I took over a dynasty team in the winter. It was probably like November, December, and I was looking through the roster and I was like, H LaLanne. Interesting. Well, we'll see. We'll see if he stays. I love the guy that owned this team before me. Thank you, sir. Like salute to you.
This bud's for you.
Right. No, exactly. Because then now I get to feel the benefits of this guy's knowledge of pitching prospects. So shout out to him. But yeah, LaLanne's another one. He's a bit closer and definitely going to continue shooting up boards. He's already at 26% rostered, which was not that high last time I looked. So he's getting a lot of attention. The Yankees are looking good, which is, you know, I'm sure tough to hear as a Mets fan, Rick, and just baseball fans in general. You know, it's always nice to hate on the Yankees, but their development's really taken a lot of steps forward recently, and they got some exciting pieces, insane depth on the pitching side. Like, I know their major league roster is pitching staff is kind of struggling with some injuries, but they have a lot of guys that aren't too far out. So love the depth that they have there. Yeah, no, that's fair too. That's always, you know, but that is crazy too, because they've traded so many guys and they still have good depth. So props to them. Next game on the list here, the Rays and the Twins. Xavier Isaac, like we mentioned earlier, went 3-for-3 with homers, 4 RBIs, a walk, like just looked incredible. Junior Caminero went 1-for-3 with a run. Tanner Scoble could be, I think, a name going to watch going into this year. He went 2-for-2 with a run and an RBI. Brooks Lee, 1-for-3 with an RBI and a K. I think he'll get some major league time relatively early this year, probably before the hottest days of the summer. Manuel Rodriguez, everyone's just been waiting for him to break out. Everyone, you know, you hear it all the time. He's got top 5 prospect, overall prospect potential, but he's had really a lot of bad luck with injuries. He went 1-for-2 with a run, an RBI, and a walk. Saw he also stole a base. Gabriel Gonzalez went 1-for-2 with a run, 2 RBIs, a walk, and a strikeout. So yeah, lots of names happening in this game. Two good organizations that have the Rays have taken a step forward, definitely in development recently. So Rick, what stood out to you for the Rays and the Twins that you saw?
Yeah. So obviously with Isaac, absolutely fantastic, you know, great outing there. Definitely seems like he was playing MLB The Show, right? So I don't really need to go into much detail with that. Watch what he does this year, because he's going to continue to climb, you know, so young, but he knows what he's doing. He's going to be a superstar. Junior Caminero, it was good to see him be able to get a hit and run scored on there. You know, I think honestly he should break camp with the Rays, but who knows what's going to happen. I know they're kind of gearing it towards him not. As you know, Jake alluded to on here, Tanner Scoble is a guy that I definitely think that you guys need to watch this year in deeper dynasty leagues. You know, this might not be a super flashy name, but this is a guy who has already proven to this point that he knows how to hit. He did very well whenever he was at Virginia Tech. He was drafted in 2022 in the 68th overall compensation round, I think is where he was drafted at. But plays, you know, pretty much the infield, second base, third base for the most part. Last year, he played in high A and double A with 77 games in high A. He slashed 288, 366, 493 with 14 home runs, 61 RBIs, 9 stolen bases. What I liked the most was that his walk rate was at 10.4% and his strikeout rate at 18.4%. So this is a guy that walks plenty, doesn't strike out a ton. When he did get bumped to double A, he walked 12.1% of the time and struck out 19.3% of the time in 49 games. So a large enough sample size that you can say, okay, he has good plate discipline in that regard. Struggled a little bit with the average, but it was also a victim of very low BABIP as well. So he was kind of getting a little unlucky with this. So he is a guy that I definitely think you guys should watch going into, you know, this season. Definitely performed well in the series. And then Emmanuel Rodriguez, fantastic. You know, he's on everybody's boards. Brooks Lee, same thing. He's going to end up debuting sooner rather than later. A good high floor prospect. So, you know, I see a lot of dynasty owners that are just like so unwilling to move Brooks Lee. I'm not quite to that point, but I do understand why. He is a very safe prospect, a very high floor type of guy. I just don't know if the upside is going to be of an elite tiered MLB player. So just kind of keep that in mind. I still like Brooks Lee a lot. I'm not fading him by any means. But the one I really wanted to talk about here is Gabriel Gonzalez. He is a prospect that came over from the Mariners in the most recent trade here. 20 years old, 5'10", you know, right-handed bat here. But he has got some, you know, really kind of sneaky pop. And I think that he's going to be poised for a big year. He's got a good bat. Good understanding of the strike zone here. He played in low A and high A last year in 73 games played, 9 home runs, 8 stolen bases, 54 RBIs, a 6.9% walk rate, 13.7% K rate. He slashed 348, 403, 530. So great bat-to-ball skills in low A. Once again, 19 last year. Whenever he did get the bump to high A, he struggled a little bit in his 43 games, though I will say, with the batting average, his strikeout rate was still very, very manageable at 21.5%. This isn't really a prospect that's going to walk a ton, so 6.5% is pretty much going to be on par with where he's at. But like I said, I mean, we're looking at a guy who hit 18 home runs last year. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we could see a 25 home run season out of him this year as he continues to put on muscle, which it looks like he has. He looks like he's ready to go for the season. So keep Gabriel Gonzalez in the back of your minds for a Twins team that is starting to churn a little bit into the prospects. So yeah, keep that.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow and Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner, too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong.
Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Mine.
Yeah, another thing with Gabriel Gonzalez with that batting average and, you know, how he kind of struggled in high A, he had a 233 BABIP, which in high A is honestly impressive. That's almost, I would jokingly say that's almost a skill to have a BABIP that low in high A. So I definitely think that, like, especially him being, you know, kind of going up to high A, struggling a little bit, then getting traded in the offseason, great time to buy into him if, you know, if you're interested, because, you know, new team, had a whole offseason to kind of prepare. Now going into this year, age 20 season, hopefully you'll see some time at Double A now this year as well. I mean, you could definitely, you don't have to squint your eyes too hard to see how he's really going to turn into a sought after prospect with a really nice, well-rounded profile here. So that'll do it for the Rays and the Twins. Now the Astros and the Cardinals. Joshua Baez went 1-for-2 with a home run. That was 110.1 miles per hour off the bat and went 455 feet. I'd say that's pretty good. Adam Klopfenstein was solid. Went 2 innings, 2 strikeouts, no hits, no walks, no earned runs. Michael McGreevy went 2 innings, 3 Ks, 2 hits, no earned, no walks. And then Thomas Segese and Victor Scott both went 0-for-3. Again, sound the alarms. Spencer Arrighetti went 2 innings, no strikeouts, no hits, 1 walk, no earned. Really, guys, I think a nice group of guys. Both the Astros and the Cardinals have a lot of players that are very close to the major leagues. A lot of these guys, they don't have necessarily like the huge standout players that are like, you know, were drafted out of high school or like signed, has this huge upside, but like they have a lot of really solid players that could contribute very soon. And we saw like Arrighetti was really close to the majors a lot last year. There's some chatter about Victor Scott being up pretty quickly. McGreevy was, again, always kind of knocking on the door. So lots of really good talent in both of these systems. And I think this was a good game to actually see a preview of what we'll probably see earlier than most of these other games as far as like when they'll make the majors. Rick, what did would you have for us on this game?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a low scoring game, 1-0, not a whole lot of hits all around. So you kind of had to kind of look a little bit deeper whenever it came to this, but you're right. I mean, a lot of the close proximity talent is there, right? You know, Joshua Baez really, really struggled last year. It was good to see him be able to scorch the ball the way that he did. And I'm hoping that this year is a way for him to kickstart his season and get into it, because I mean, he annihilated that ball. I mean, 110.1 off the bat. I mean, it was no doubt. It was great. 455 feet. I mean, come on. You know, and I think he's still like 20 years old, 20, 21 years old. So he's still very, very young, still some time, but he's got to cut down those strikeouts because it's like 30, 40%. So there's a lot of work still to be done with Joshua Baez, but good to see. Adam Klopfenstein is definitely a pitcher that I'm excited to see. We've talked about him on this podcast before with our special guest. But, you know, seeing him go out here, 2 innings, 2 Ks, no hits, no walks, I like that. I like that a lot. I think he's a very solid, you know, pitcher. I like the fact that he's got that bulldog mentality and just a leave me alone, I'm going to go out there and get it. I liked hearing that, Jake. I thought that was so cool. You know, Michael McGreevy, once again, I think that he's going to be a safe pitcher, a good Cardinals quality style pitcher. That's not going to be, you know, high ranked prospects and stuff like that, but they're going to go out there and he's going to do his job. Right. If we fast forward 10 years, Jake, I'm not going to be surprised if Michael McGreevy is like, you know, just getting it done Sonny Gray style.
Right.
That won't surprise me at all. You know, seeing Thomas Segese and Victor Scott going 0-for-3, I'm not worried about it. Victor Scott was all over there defensively. If you go back through the game log, every time it's hit to Victor Scott, mm-hmm. He's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get called at some point. Keep your eye on Spencer Arrighetti for this year, because I think with obviously the Astros dealing with some of these injuries, I think Balik is going to be starting the year in the rotation. The Astros are going to need some of these minor league prospects that are close proximity Gordon is another one in their system that you need to watch. We talked with Trey Dombrowski on this podcast. So, you know, he's a little bit further away down the pecking order, but still, you know, keep an eye on the Astros. This is a team, honestly, one of the highest ranked teams in MLB for utilizing their prospects. Okay. So even though they don't have top tier prospects, most of their talent is homegrown. And there's a reason why they have the success that they do. So keep an eye on Spencer going into this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it just, again, a kind of a nice example of a pitcher being promoted to AAA, kind of struggling initially and not quite putting up the insane numbers that he put up at AA. And you kind of, you sense the some of like the hype and the attention kind of fade just a little bit. And I think that's a great time really always to just to take a second look and see what he's going to have to offer, because AAA is tough. There's a lot of really advanced veteran hitters that don't strike out a ton in AAA compared to AA. So very different environment. And it, you know, definitely takes some adjustments sometimes. So obviously, you know, we'll definitely keep up to date with what he's showing us earlier this year. And then moving on to the last game that we'll talk about fully here, the Brewers and the Royals. Jacob Mizorowski was dominant, as you know, we've seen it from him so many times in the past. He went to 2.2 innings pitched, 5 strikeouts, no hits, 3 walks, no earned runs. Tyler Black went 1-for-3 with a run scored. Jackson Churio went 1-for-3 with a run scored and an RBI. Caden Wallace, 2-for-2, 2 runs and a walk. Trevor Werner went 1-for-2 with a run and RBI and a strikeout. Will Klein was pretty sharp in his outing, striking out 2 in 1 inning of work and allowed 1 hit. Sat in the upper 90s with a fastball. So kind of nice peaked attention there. Mizorowski's obviously the one that's going to get all the attention, but there's some solid guys in the game behind him too. Mizorowski, you know, it's not, like, we know he's electric stuff. But, you know, it's those 3 walks. It's kind of the epitome of his performances, you know, with his command and just watching that deliver. Sometimes I'm like, man, he'd be a really great reliever. I don't want to think of him like that. But we'll see. Looked really good. I mean, 5 strikeouts, gotta love it. Rick, what were you kind of noticing from the guys on this list from the game?
I'm trying to continue my go after the dominance and don't worry about the walks.
Right.
I'm trying to like mentally tell myself it's going to be okay.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
It'll work itself
out, Rick.
It'll all be fine.
And like we were just talking about earlier, closers are still very valuable. Mizorowski would be, I think, on the same level as like Helsley, Duran. Like he'd be incredible either way.
Is either the next wave of Devin Williams and Hader? You know, I don't know. I don't want that. I don't want it.
right.
I don't like it, Jake. Yeah. I don't like it, but it could happen, right? So that'll be fun. No, but Jacob Mizorowski, fine. 3 walks, it is what it is. But 5 Ks and 2 2/3, love it. Tyler Black, we're going to see him sooner rather than later. I would prefer it sooner, but you know, it is what it is. Yeah, I know Brock Wilkin did fine. I think he walked in this game as well. Jackson Churio, you love seeing that with 1-for-3. Caden Wallace was one that stood out right out the back for the Royals. Cause I looked at it originally, the box score, whenever I was writing everything up, and I was like, man, the Royals just like, it just didn't really do much. But Caden Wallace was one that I've been watching for a while, and I'm really excited to see what he does this year. And he made the most of his time in this game, obviously going 2-for-2, 2 runs scored, a walk. You gotta love that. I think that, you know, he could be a very solid third baseman, not really talked about enough in Dynasty, personally. So I think Caden Wallace is one that you need to watch. Now, Jake, while I talk about this next prospect, I want you to do your due diligence with Fantrax to tell me the ownership of the next 2 that I'm going to talk about. First of which is Trevor Werner. I definitely want to know what the Fantrax ownership is of that. But while you take a look at that, I was amazed whenever I saw him on the breakouts list, because I'll be honest with you, I didn't know much about him. Yeah, at all. So 23 years old, 6'3", 225 pounds, third baseman, played for Texas A&M, was drafted last year in the seventh round. So this just like completely went over our heads. When I went back and I looked at what he did, you know, post-draft, he played at the Complex League for four games, batted 333, 375, 733, which is great, but strikeout rate of 37.5%, not my thing. He goes and he gets promoted to low A, where he plays 31 games. So 35 total games, Jake. He plays 35 total games in, you know, after being drafted. In 31 games at low A, he slashes 354, 459, 699 with 8 home runs, 36 RBIs, 8 stolen bases, 15.6 walks in terms of his percentage for walks, 23% strikeout rate. Wow.
Yeah.
What? You know, it's like, wow, this is fantastic. And now you see him here, you know, in this breakout series, and you know, he did well. 1-for-2, a run scored, RBI, 1 strikeout. I mean, obviously strikeouts are in his game, but man, this is exciting to me. Like, this is somebody that I definitely need to watch going into next year. This could be a Graham Pauly. This could be something like that, or an Albimelech Ortiz that could just completely go through the roof. You're hearing it here. Yeah.
There
the
you
most
go.
Part works, okay.
Right.
Hey, where are we at with that ownership?
5%.
Boom. That's what I'm talking about, guys. That's what I'm talking about. The second one I wanted to touch on here real quick, and then Jake, I want to get your opinion on him as well. Will Klein, okay? Once again, we're talking relievers on this podcast, you know? But Will Klein has got some really interesting stuff. In the 2020 shortened draft, he was the last selection that the Royals made in the draft. I'm out of Eastern Illinois. Eastern Illinois. So that fastball is absolutely filthy. Has a cutter, as a curveball, you know, pretty solid stuff. He has been primarily used as a relief pitcher, guys. There's nothing to see here with that. But I will say this. Last year, he pitched in Double-A and Triple-A. In Double-A, he had 21 appearances, 29 and a third innings pitched, 13.50 K per nine with a 4.3 walks per nine. As a relief pitcher, I will take that all day. 3.38 ERA. Yes, please. I will take that. Goes to Triple-A, 28 appearances, a 12.60 K per nine, 6.43 walks per nine, but he kept the ball in the yard, 0.77 home runs per nine, a 5.66 ERA, 4.37 FIP. There is a lot to like here, and I think with the Royals kind of trying to rebuild in a sense and get some of these guys up here, Will Klein could be a guy that will make his debut probably at some point this year, and don't be surprised if he's pushing for one of those key bullpen spots at the back end.
Yeah, I mean, the Royals' bullpen's pretty wide open. They really don't have, like, a dependent guy. So, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Klein is competing for, like, a closer job, like, next spring, you know? If he kind of can perform well this year, I'm sure he'll have opportunities because they'll definitely need it. He's had 4 appearances in spring training so far, 3.2 innings, hasn't given up a run, 6 strikeouts in those 3.2 innings. So, he hasn't gotten the hype of some of these other relief prospects, but like he's right up there, you know, I think right along with like the guys like Leisure and Baroa that we've, and even Uribe, who's a little bit further advanced, but like he really has the stuff to be impactful there. His rostership on Fantrax is 2%.
Woo!
So, yeah, I would take a look at that. You have the bench space, you have deeper leagues. Like, I think, you know, again, getting on these relievers before they really get up and start blowing everybody away, before you see the highlights on Pitching Ninja is huge and can definitely pay off for you for sure.
Absolutely. You want to get ahead of Pitching Ninja Just yes. Because he does such a fantastic job. That's not a slight at him.
It's annoying.
He does such a fantastic job that every time I think I get a leg up, right. He posts something and then it goes whoop right yep. out the door.
And it's gone. It's too late. It's gone into the wind.
Yep.
It's just, oh my goodness. So yeah, love the pitching intro, but, a few other random guys that I saw, which is kind of going through these games that I want to shout out. I already shouted out Josue de Paula. Love him. David Festa. He got a couple innings of work in with the Twins. Oh my God, he looked so good. His slider, no one can touch it. I mean, it was so, so effective. Looked really good. Fastball was again really good. I just love what the Twins are doing with their prospects, with their pitching development. I think he's like next man up for him. I think he's definitely going to get an opportunity sooner than later. And so, yeah, loved him, watched him. Tink Hentz, every chance I get, I watch him. He's so much fun. Against people, there's always been whispers about his bullpen tendencies or, you know, inevitability, but I just love watching him pitch. He looked good again. His stuff always looks super sharp. Thomas White, we got the first crack at him. He was just drafted this last year out of high school. And I mean, like, man, I can see a little bit of a Tiedemann track for Thomas White. Not saying he's going to, you know, be as good and, you know, because that's a tall comp, I think. But, like, just the stuff that he has already as, what, like a 19-year-old? I mean, it's ridiculous. From the left side, really, really nice delivery there. Like effortless, you know, like really good. And then who else did I write down here? Oh, I think that was it. Those were the guys that I really wanted to shout out. So, yeah, Rick, closing thoughts. Anything else about your experiences of kind of watching these games and maybe what we can be looking forward to next year or into the season?
Man, I mean, once again, it's such a good idea to be able to, you know, bring these guys out and talk to them, you know, and be able to get to know them a little bit more, you know, as dynasty owners, as baseball fans, you know, let's just back it up to that, just as baseball fans.
Right.
And be aware that, yes, it's great to be able to see these Major League Baseball players be able to do what they're doing at the highest level. But there is a time in which the new blood needs to come in and kind of take over and take that torch and move it forward. This is a great example of being able to see that. The Arizona Fall League is the exact same thing in a way. You know, it could be a little light on the pitching at times. So with this, you're able to see it in its raw form. You know, usually you'll see great batters in the Fall League, some good pitchers working on specific things, but it's really hitter, you know, heavy. This you're seeing just straight down the middle. And that is awesome to be able to see. I hope that they do more of this. I know, you know, with the All-Star series, they tend to try to bring in some prospects and everything. Maybe this is a good opportunity for you guys to kind of keep a little mental note in the back of your mind about some of these guys whenever it comes time to the All-Star break and you be able to see the, you know, prospect, you know, All-Stars and see if you see some of these guys that we're talking about here on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I really, really enjoyed watching these games and kind of getting some extra looks at some of these guys. And we'll, you know, keep you all updated on how they're doing into the season. That'll do it for the episode. Good luck to everybody that filled out March Madness brackets. Hopefully you're not already busted and out of the pools that you're in by the time you're listening to this. It's always a fun weekend for that. I will definitely spend most of my weekend watching a lot of basketball and preparing for the baseball season. Thank you all for tuning in, for listening. You can obviously, as always, find me on X at Jake Mache, Rick on X at Must Be the Hawk, and the podcast on X at PL on the Farm. Have yourselves a great baseball week, everybody, and thank you for tuning in.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.